Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey, After Buzzers. Tonight on the Good Doctor After Show, we are breaking down the season 2 finale, which was full of happiness, romance, positivity, a proposal. Also, Sean is back in the hospital right where he should be. We have a lot to talk about, so stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's the big finale night here on the Good Doctor After Show, and it's crazy because it feels like the season just got started, Jamie.
It does.
I can't believe we're already at the end. Again, thank you, Good Doctor fans, for tuning in tonight. I'm Veronica Valencia, and I already kind of introduced her, but to my left, joining me tonight, we have Jamie Alexander.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Jamie here.
Coming up later in the episode, we're going to be talking about this pretty mellow episode that was full of happiness. We're going to be talking about Sean and Claire and their friendship. Also, Sean ending up in the hospital, as well as Glassy and Debbie. Who would have thought that it ended that way? But before we get into any of that, Jamie, overall thoughts?
Yeah, you know what? I'm with you on that. Overall, it was a loving episode, except the way it opened, obviously.
Obviously. That's probably the only tense moment.
Yeah, exactly. So it was all the loose ends got tied up. It was a nice way to just wrap up all the gifts we were given all season with a little bow and send us on off into whatever season 3 is going to be. Mm-hmm. It was just a perfect way to wrap everything up and kind of close out all of these storylines that we've been dealing with for the past 18 episodes.
Yeah. I have to agree. I really enjoyed it. I know many season finales always try and go like big, go big or go home. They always try and throw in all these intense, dramatic moments and leave huge cliffhangers. But I appreciated how this finale was more mellow. It was very happy. There was, like you were saying, Jamie, it wrapped up a lot of loose ends. So obviously there are things for us to look forward to in the new season, but no big cliffhanger that's like, oh my gosh, how dare you do this to me? I'm going crazy. Why did you have to do that?
Right.
So I really appreciated just how joyful I felt watching this and how positive everything turned out given the struggles and the journeys these characters have been through this season.
Yeah, exactly. I'd have to agree.
And we should get into the one big struggle and journey that we were facing the last couple of episodes, which was Sean getting fired from the hospital. So obviously we open up with Sean in a bar.
Yeah, which at 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m. I loved this scene. I thought it was so comedic. Just the idea of Sean in a bar. And he's like, I'm sad, so this is what I'm supposed to be doing, right?
Yeah, that was really cute. It was just typical Sean. He is just so cute to me. Like, his little mannerisms and his demeanor. So just to see him at a bar is like, dude, what are you doing? It was just so, it was sweet and endearing. And then him trying to engage with someone.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, him trying to engage, but then still stand his ground. Like, he is really going through something. And you can tell by the different ways he's responding. And then as we talk about more, like, you know, his behavior has changed a little bit. He's thrown off. And I know I can relate. I mean, when I'm just overwhelmed or something's not going right, I'm thrown off. I'm not thinking as quickly. I'm grouchier. I'm probably, you know. So we're just seeing how Sean looks thrown off.
Yeah. I love that because these last few episodes, we've seen Sean engage in emotions. We haven't really seen him have a lot of these past few episodes. And so I like this. I like this idea of Sean kind of being aware of, like, I'm sad. What should I do when I'm sad? I should go to a bar at 10 a.m. because I'm sad. I want to talk to someone and see why they're sad. And I want to, you know, I want to speak. That was something that I really liked about this scene, too, is Sean said something along the lines of, like, he wants to speak his feelings or he wants to say what he wants to say.
Right.
And that's kind of what we've been seeing the last couple episodes, too, is, like, he knows what he wants to be and he wants to speak his feelings. And I love that.
Yeah, which is really great and necessary. It's a life skill.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's something that I can relate to when we don't allow ourselves to speak up because we're afraid of what might happen or who might say something or being wrong or being rejected, which is something else that was on his mind at one point in this episode. You know, it doesn't allow us to live in our full truth. So I love him powering forward and just living in his full truth because that is the only way he's going to live a full life, which is a far cry from the top of season two, you know, episode one. I don't remember fully, but I just know we were still working with getting Sean to communicate in a more warmer and emotional way.
Yeah.
A more definitely. Layered way as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then poor Sean gets beat up.
Oh, my God.
But then the other guy just falls unconscious and hurts his head.
That was such crazy. A mess. I was like, what is going on? And like,
I was wondering where the bartender was.
Yeah, the bartender, nobody. And then I was, at first I was like, okay, well, nobody else is in the bar. But I'm like, okay, it is 10 a.m. Obviously, they're not in L.A. But yeah, I just, it threw me off at the beginning. But I'm really glad that they found resolution with that. And mm-hmm. even that the guy wasn't, you know, as bad as we thought. But
yeah,
random that he would run into Sean being yeah. assert and go through all that. So Sean could mm-hmm. actually help him
yeah.
with that strange.
And then obviously, you know, he gets taken to the hospital that Sean, St. Bonaventure, where Sean worked. And Sean kind of stuck around the whole day, kind of evaluating his symptoms and trying to find a cause for what happened to him, which, of course, it's so Sean. But in my mind, I was like, is it okay? Like, should he be here? Wouldn't, you know, if Han knew, like, wouldn't security be trying to get him out? What did you think of that? Did you think it was weird that he was just sticking around all day?
I mean, I think it was okay because Claire invited him in. So once she invited him in, because he was, I feel like he would have stayed outside, but once Claire invited him in, I think he kind of did just hang around too, because she was just like, well, you know, we need to know what happened, and you're still a doctor, like, you know, please mm-hmm. tell us or help us. So I think that was the only great saving grace that got him in there. Otherwise, it would have been super weird. Like, he's just
yeah.
fired and hanging, you know, at this job when he should have been in a job interview for another mm-hmm. hospital.
I know. That was crazy, too.
Yes.
Because we talked about it last episode, could Sean leave?
Right.
And this episode kind of set up, he had the potential to leave, but right. his heart is just set on where he wants to be. He wants to be at this hospital, St. Bonaventure's, and a surgeon.
So yeah.
His heart's made up.
Yeah, I mean, and it has been. It's just nice that the rest of the world was able to catch up with that mm-hmm. because it doesn't always work out like that. Mm-hmm. But it did in his case, which is beautiful.
Yeah. And then, obviously, you had just mentioned Claire inviting him in. Let's talk about Claire and Sean and this whole interaction. I love their relationship. I love their relationship so much.
Yeah, she is so sweet. She's so good-hearted, and she really cares about Sean. And I love the balance that they have between characters. It was so cute. It was cracking me up when she, like, put herself in his shoes and was, like, trying
give
to channel
him. Give me a
step
stool.
Yeah. Like, nobody else could have done that but Claire because mm-hmm. of her openness and receptiveness and care for Sean. So
yeah.
I thought it was valuable. She's such a doll. I love it.
I love it, too. And I love how she respects Sean.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've seen how Lim and Melendez and the rest of the team respect Sean, but I really appreciated this episode how Claire showed her respect for him by saying, like, this Sean thinks there's something wrong. I'm going to try and figure it out. I'm going to put myself in his shoes because this was his theory. And I love that. Mm-hmm. And we always knew that Claire's strong point was connecting with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just loved seeing how she tried so hard to figure out what Sean was going for with this patient, what he was trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very important, you know, even when she was helping him with the courtship, it was just really sweet and endearing. And it's like she knows what he needs without, like you said, mm-hmm. being disrespectful. She respects him, but she knows he needs help. And it was just really cute and sweet how she even led him, you know, into that. Like, well, here's flowers and chocolate and ask me on a date, all the words, you know.
Let's please talk about this.
Yeah.
This was so cute because that was a very sincere moment where Sean was obviously going through something and Claire, as a friend, tried to give him a pep talk, you know, like, this is stuff that's going to happen. You're going to have your heart broken. You're going to get, get fired from another job or leave another job and you have to kind of go on. And I loved this moment between them where they had a moment of, let's try and connect and see what we want in life and, like, do we want kids? Do we want families? And just, I loved that moment of connection because we haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And, or even just, you know, him being like, well, I don't know how to fall in love. I don't even know if he's said that so clear because we've seen him go through things with Leah and try to figure out, like, what is this? Do I like her? Like, what is this thing? And, okay, girls, and I like her and roommates, but we're not going to get, you know, he's going through all this stuff. But now he's like, you know, I don't know how to love or whatever. So that was just a cute way to get him on his feet, I think.
Yeah, it was because, like you were saying, Jamie, we've seen him with Leah. So we clearly know that Sean has felt, what's the word I'm looking for? Not,
like connection. He's felt a connection. The butterflies of some sort.
Yeah, I can't necessarily say love because I'm not sure if he understands love with Leah, but he has felt a connection. Thank you for pointing it out that way. He has felt that. So I just, but obviously he doesn't really know how to act on it. And I love that Claire is taking the time to help him act on it. This is a stapler.
Yeah.
These are her tissues, but they're not real. They're supposed to be flowers.
So cute.
He's trying so hard, and I absolutely love it. And I know this happens a little bit later in the episode, but it ties into the specific scene so much, so I kind of want to bring it up right here and then go into Sean's illness. But the ending,
yes,
which was so heartwarming, so quite a few people in the chat are saying that Billie Jean Girl 24 is saying that ending with Sean made my heart melt. Star Cloak, same Billie Jean Girl. It was so cute, guys.
Oh, it was so adorable. He's so sweet. Honestly, when he went to the house, I thought he was going to ask out Claire for real.
Okay, how many times did we get duped in a matter of, like, seconds?
Yeah.
We got duped twice because at first Leah comes in and we're like, we see him in the nice suit. We see him with the flowers and chocolates. And we're like, I don't know about you, Jamie, but I was like, no, I'm starting to come around to you, Leah, but I still don't think I would want to see Leah and Sean together. So I was like, no, go to Claire.
Yeah.
And then we get duped. It's not Leah. We go, and like you were saying, we thought it was Claire's house.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
I totally did. And I know Leah was scared out of her pants because that scene was so good. Leah, her acting was so strong there because you could just tell it was like, oh no, what are you going to ask me? Just ask. Like, let's get to it. I'm not saying yes. I'm not saying no. But like, oh my God. Like, you could just tell her she was inner freaking out at, you know, okay, he just got his job back and all this. And now I'm about to rock his world because I don't know if I'm going to go on a date with him. But he was like, do I look nice? I'm like,
you look so nice.
So nice. Yeah. And he was just all happy. And he had the flowers and chocolate when he left. That was just, he's just so cute. He never gave me to the girl.
Yeah, but he was so happy, and she understood because it was Carly, I believe, is her name from Pathology, and I love that she said yes. But he was so excited, and he's like so skipping down the street. I loved that too because it's been a while since we've seen a moment of genuine excitement, like a reaction of excitement for Sean.
Yeah, like he got something at the end. He got something. He got his job and a girl. Like instead
things
of
are looking up for him.
Things are looking up. I'm excited for season three because look how much, that's what I'm saying, this episode did such a good job of tying up so many loose ends that we're just kind of like, well, is he normal in the dating life? Is he going to stay stuck on Leah? Is he going to get his job back? Is he okay? Like you said, the illness, where, you know, is he, you know, okay after all this? And turns out he's better than ever. Yeah. So I love it.
I do want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Because you brought up, you know, Leah being very nervous about, oh my gosh, is Sean going to ask me something with those flowers and those chocolates? When Sean was in the hospital and it was Leah and Glassy told Leah, Sean likes you, do you really think that she had no idea? Or do you think she had to have some idea?
What, that Sean likes her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she knows.
She has to know.
Yeah, she knows. And I think that she also knows that the communication between her and Sean has been clear enough throughout the whole thing. So it's like she knows, but it's not like something she has to keep reminding him of or bring it up or blah, blah, blah. Like, I feel like they hashed out everything with the roommate situation.
Yeah.
Once they became roommates, I think everything was out on a table and there was no need to, like, there's no need to, like, investigate further, you know? So
I just want to shout out Frank S. in the chat. He had the perfect result. She said yes and he kept the chocolate. It's a win-win.
Yeah, exactly. That was cute.
Yeah. But to your point, Jamie, no, I thought the exact same thing. I was like, Leah has to know based on the history and everything that happened. But in that moment, she just looked so shocked. Like, this was new news to her. Like, she had never heard it.
Yeah, she did kind of react, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about that part. I guess that would be shocking because, like I said, I feel like they hashed everything out when they did the roommate deal. And so maybe she was kind of feeling like, okay, did Sean go back to Glassman and, like, say more? Or is this still a thing? Really? Like, after all we've been through and after the other little boy I had in here, and we were drinking orange juice, popcorn, and movies and all that, like, he really still likes me? So I just kind of took her reaction to kind of be, like, more like, huh, it's really still? Wow. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. And then because obviously we're talking about Leah's reaction, this obviously happened when Sean was sick, which kind of came out of, I don't want to say came out of nowhere, but it was a very immediate reaction, a trauma reaction, actually, from getting punched in the stomach, yes?
Yeah, he got punched and kicked. That's why his ribs were, you know, he was all bruised and coughing up blood, which was so sad. And, you know, it also, back to him being just discombobulated, like, I noticed that right away. He's lying. He lied twice.
Can you believe it? Good Doctor fans, can you believe that Sean was able to lie?
He straight up lied twice. He lied, oh, I found him like that. And then somebody asked, you know, Sean, are you okay? He's like, yes. And clearly he wasn't.
Can we speculate why we think he lied?
That's what I'm saying. I just think when people are at their wits' end and discombobulated and not doing well in life, like, you start to behave differently. So I think that, yeah, because even Claire, I believe she asked him, like, why did you lie about that? And
yeah,
he still didn't
lie.
Say anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just think, yeah, he was acting out of character. And
I think maybe he didn't think he was lying. I think, like you were saying, Jimmy, because he was so out of it, given everything that's been happening the past couple episodes and then getting beat up by this guy, I think Sean was obviously just trying, was like saying what he thought was true, what he thought was true in that moment in the incident. But because everything's just happening, he got overwhelmed.
Oh, I think he straight up lied. He didn't want to tell because it didn't come out until later. I don't know if he was afraid to tell someone he got his butt a little kicked, or that he was at a bar in the morning, or that he wasn't at the interview like he was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So I think it was more about his whereabouts or what happened that made him lie.
Crazy.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah. Well, while we're happy here that Sean is lying, we are not lying when we say we have tons of content that we want to share with you guys, and Jamie can provide you with more information on that.
Yes, I can. So, yes, before we jump into our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you guys so much for making this the ESPN of TV Talk. We want to let you know that we have so many shows just like this, so there's dramas, realities, sci-fi, all kinds of things that we cover. So if you're on YouTube right now, make sure to subscribe to this channel, like this post, give us some comments, like some of our other channels, because we have so many, you know, different genres of things that you guys can enjoy. And the more you like us, the more you get tailored content from YouTube from us that you may enjoy. And so hit a thumbs up, subscribe. And if you're on iTunes right now, give us 5 stars. We would love that. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment because we will give you a shout out, like some of the shout outs I'm about to give right now. And thank you again, because being a part of AfterBuzz is something that means so much to all of us. And we appreciate having you. We don't exist if you don't. So thank you for being fans and enjoying us doing what we love. And don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows. So we got some fans in the building that have left comments and have been so a part of the conversation. So there's quite a few of you guys. Since it's the season finale, we wanted to make sure to get to most of you. So Sean Cunningham, Tanya Banton, Frank S., Joanne Humil, Glow Loves Jomo, Star Cloak, Tia Diaz, Patricia Maloney, Michelle Fitzgerald, and Paola Arteaga. I hope I got all those names right, but we love you guys. Thank you so much. Yeah.
And shout out to everyone in our live chat right now. Thank you so much because we are live right now. Thank you so much for joining us live, being a part of our conversation. I just want to give a shout out to Mito Sleem, who is hi from Egypt.
Wow.
Hi.
Hey.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. Billie Jean Girl 24, Star Cloak again. Emma Swan, Saucy's son, and Frank S. again as well. So thank you guys so much for joining us in our live chat, for commenting along on our previous videos. We really appreciate every single one of you.
We do, we do.
All right. Let's go into Dr. Andrews and the board, but also how he's kind of come to the front to start defending Sean. We've seen how all the other surgeons and residents have started defending him, and now Andrews is getting involved.
Yeah, something threw me off with, and I wrote it down, but there was something where Han was basically, he had said at one point, like, I gave Sean a chance and he blew it. Or some, he said something to the nature, and I'm like, what test did he give Sean that he failed?
I love the fact that you brought that up, because that was exactly my question that had me, like, mind rolling. He said that, you know, because Dr. Andrews obviously was saying, like, oh, you didn't give him a chance. Like, we have given him a lot of responsibility. And Dr. Han was like, no, you haven't given him responsibility. I was the one who, you know, gave him more responsibility. I'm like, But what? What did you do? It's like, yeah. It's like the minute you got there, you had maybe a few interactions with him. You saw he messed up with the communicating with the parents, and then boom, he's gone.
Right.
Like, what responsibility did you give him that he failed?
Oh, it was wild. So that had my mind searching. So I'm glad I wasn't the only one, because I'm like, no, he pretty much passed everything with flying colors and then some. Even when you didn't ask him to do things, he was getting things done. So that kind of threw me off a little bit. And it's funny because I feel like when we had Nicholas on, that's what I felt. I felt like partly that Han wasn't going to last. I think I might have had a small prediction there, like maybe 2 or 3 episodes, which is all we had left at the time. But the way it played out was interesting. There was another thing that stood out when Han was talking, and it's the one thing I've admired about him this whole time, is that when Han brought up to Andrews how it would basically be an embarrassment or a big deal or like too over the top if he fired him, but that's why he asked for so much money. Because asking for that amount of money is asking for commitment. It's not just, oh, you're paying for all my skills and all this. So this is Dr. Han playing chess, not checkers. Mm-hmm. This man is extremely brilliant when it comes to getting this business stuff done. And he really put himself in a position not only to be respected and revered, but to stick around for the long haul. Like if Andrews, let's say, had to go to whoever was above him to make sure they could get the money allotted for this guy, that's pulling more strings, asking more favor. Like, okay, if we give you this, you better be right. Cause so that gives you more of a solid base in a job. Like, I don't know. Han played his cards so right. It didn't work out for him in the end, but he just very well played. Just that was something that stuck out, that he asked for what he asked for price-wise so he could get the commitment from the team.
I've been seeing quite a few of the Good Doctor fans saying that some of them are on Team Han and some of them are obviously on Team Sean. And so they have really good points for both sides, but I think the thing that bothered me about Dr. Han was he just seemed to lack patience. Mm-hmm. And obviously we saw that with Sean, that he didn't have the patience to try and work with him to communicate, or that, he lacked patience and he wasn't clear. I saw this a lot with when Sean had his meltdown moment in Han's office. Han wasn't clear that, some fans are speculating, if he stays in pathology, maybe he could become the bridge between pathology and the surgeons, being that like middleman where they go to and can bounce ideas off of. And if that's true, tell him that. Yeah. Like, you need to be very clear with him. And he didn't. I feel like Han was kind of like, I say something and you just kind of have to understand it. And if you don't get it, then that's on you.
Exactly.
And and that was my biggest beef with him, is I think he lacked patience and the ability to be clear.
Yeah. And I mean, again, it goes back to, you know, that leadership thing. When you're a leader, no, you're not supposed to be mommy and daddy, but you do have a responsibility for the people that are subordinate to you. And so responsibility meaning, like, sure, you can tell Sean what you plan all day and, you know, introduce the clarity or whatever it is that you're going to do, make it plain. But when he reacts in a way that you don't agree with or you think is harmful to him, as a leader, I think it's your job to point that out. Again, it's not about holding hands and being a babysitter or trying to be someone's parent. But at the same time, you know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
So him popping off in the office like that wasn't like, oh, well, he's erratic and can't control his emotions, blah, blah, blah. This hadn't happened until you got here. Mm-hmm. So what is it about your leadership that is sinking this ship?
Yeah.
You've had everybody in your ear with reports and board meetings and everything that you could think of, and you're still not budging. And I just think as a leader, he could have just done a better job altogether.
And I think that's another reason kind of why Dr. Andrews didn't feel completely comfortable with Han as chief of surgery, because up until then, all of the surgeons and residents have been a cohesive unit. Yep. They've worked really well together. And then under Dr. Han, they've all started, like, you know, not working well. They've second-guessed him. They second-guessed his attitude. And I think, you know, he's just not fit for this,
a good fit
for this hospital. And I think that was something that Dr. Andrews really valued, was the cohesive unit that this team was, the ability to work together, the idea to bounce ideas off of, and that was getting lost.
Completely. It was scrambled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like popcorn scrambled, like, who's doing what, can't ask who, don't page this person, don't go. It was just a mess.
Yeah, and it's great that Dr. Andrews got involved. I just want to give some shout-outs in our chat right now. Billie Jean Girl 24 says, Dr. Andrews has changed. Remember in season one that he didn't want to hire Sean, and he ended up getting Sean's job back. And then also to Frank S., I never thought Andrews would be the one to stand up for Sean. Aww. And then Jimmy says the exact same thing. I never thought Andrews would stand up for Sean.
Really? So, okay, I love that. That shows the evolution of the season then.
Yeah, it shows the evolution of Dr. Andrews' character too.
Yeah.
Of how he kind of went from someone who's like, I'm a big boy, I can take on my old job and my new job.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's growing into, I'm here for the team. I am one part of a team. And I love it. I love his growth.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. And I also, he also made a comment of, and I want to get your opinions on this. He made a comment saying, Sean isn't ready to move on and neither am I.
Yeah.
Did you think he was going to be chief of surgery again?
To be honest, it took me like a few minutes to like wrap my head around that until, you know, Lynn and Melinda started talking. I think it was right before they started talking that I was like, oh, wait, that means right. Because at first, I think automatically my brain kind of just went to things were going to go back to the way they were.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I wasn't thinking about the chief of staff position.
Yeah.
So that just kind of missed my mind, you know, quickly. But
yeah. Well, obviously, clearly he's not, because
I know
Dr. Lim.
Go Lim
is our new chief of surgery, and let's talk about Lim and Melendez now and their whole relationship now that she has this new job. I love the fact that they are public in this scene where they're like,
oh my God, like, that kiss.
It's like camera rounding out, showing every single angle, music playing, Claire and Sean just there like, what's going on? And then it stops and it's just like everyone going around, going on around them, and they're just kissing. It was fabulous.
Yeah, that was really good.
I loved it.
I'm glad they decided to go public. Again, this is a relationship I've always liked because Melendez is just so grown man about his. Like, he really makes it easy to, you know, they say men lead and, you know, provide, protect and all that. He's a good leader for her, even though she's a leader in her own right as well. You know, even the way he prompted the conversation about the job, the way he laid it out was just like, okay, so you know this is going to come up. You know, you wouldn't pass on this, right? I wouldn't pass on it either. This has helped our relationship. Just the way he led her into what was going to happen to let her know that he was okay with it, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, he's so mature and responsible. I just love the whole thing. Like, I just love them together. I love the characters, all of it.
I think they are very strong in their feelings for each other, that they do realize it's not, they've both finally found someone who understands them and who they feel comfortable to be with long term. And I don't think they would want to sacrifice that for a job, even though it would be a really good job. And I love the fact that, like you were saying, Jamie, Melendez is so mature in the fact that he knows this is a big deal and he knows it would mean so much to Dr. Lim. And he's like, you want to know what? It will only help us and it's going to be your job.
Yeah.
But I wonder, and we'll obviously get into this, into predictions, if, because in the very beginning they had to meet with HR and HR was like, well, you're sleeping together, you're dating, you want to go public, but you're not at each other's, not one of you is each other's subordinate, so I guess it's fine.
Oh, they did say that.
Mm-hmm. They were on equal playing field,
right.
So it's not like it would be a weird power struggle and the relationship would come out in the workplace.
Right. Well, good thing they got approved beforehand. Timing is everything.
Yeah.
That's all I can say about that
great.
One.
Yeah. And I'm so happy for them. And I think that their relationship is strong. I don't see it going poorly anytime soon.
I'd have to agree. It seems to work perfectly. At first, when they started having the conversation, I didn't think they were going to break up, but I thought they were going to take a step back a little bit. I think they had some lingo or verbiage that was talking about taking a step back, or Melendez was just asking questions, you know, and I thought, because he said something like, because one of us bossing the other one around, that wouldn't really work.
Yeah.
Right? Or he had said something leading to that. So I thought that they were going to take a step back. And I was like, no, not after you guys got approved and, like, kissed in front of everyone.
It's like, so, we just got there. Like, keep giving us more.
Exactly. So the fact that she got the job and he's okay with it, like, that's bomb.
Yeah.
They're on their way. That's how you do it. Good job.
They're on their way. They are not taking a step back. And neither is Debbie and Glassman.
I'm so glad. Because we were upset with him last week. Debbie was right. Yes.
She was. Which, I'll be perfectly honest, and I don't know how you thought this, Jamie. I thought Debbie almost kind of gave him, like a goodbye. Like, I'm sorry.
She did.
Yeah, she basically did give him a goodbye, and I don't know if we were going to see her again, if Glassman was still going to try and pursue her. But then this episode opens up with the two of them, like, friends, like, nothing had happened. And I was like, okay, I guess that was just a wake-up call for him, not necessarily a goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like, since she works in the hospital where he gets his little snacks, I mean, it's still friendly to let her know that, you know, you don't have cancer anymore. But I was very proud of her, and I was disappointed with Glassy last week because even after she came over and said what she said, he let her walk out the door and he sat his butt on the couch. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, dang, you're not even going to go after her? Well, for sure then. Keep walking, Debbie. Don't do this, honey. Like, mm-hmm. he's not here for it. So it was nice to see how even he slowly let in, like, you know, his toys. He's giving away toys now, which is so cute. First it was a baseball.
Baseball balls and car toys.
I was like, okay, cute. He's just giving away little toys, little Glassman's little workshop. But it was very clever and creative, and I think he did a good job meeting her where she was at. And I think it took Debbie aback because she was a little scared. It's like, okay, wait. Because I think we as women do that sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's like, I want to be married. I want to have a baby. I'm not playing around. And then some guy gets on a knee and it's like, wait, I didn't mean right now, though. It's like, so he met her where she asked to be met last episode. And I'm just proud of him for doing that. Like, what time do you have to waste?
Yeah.
They've got to be, what are they? At least in their, they're obviously in their 60s, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. Good for him.
Good for him for, like you were saying, Jamie, meeting her halfway. Also good for him for persevering and continuing to pursue Debbie. Because it's like, now he knows what he needs to do as a human being. He knows he can't be, when anything goes wrong, he can just shut down. Right. He knows he still needs to function and be there for the other people in his life. And so I like how Debbie was right when he first proposed. You don't know me. We probably shouldn't. I got that.
Yeah.
But then when he came around the second time with a very heartfelt message, I was like, just do it, Debbie.
Yeah, like, what do you have to lose? And he did it perfectly because he wooed her, like, telling me that being with me is like driving down the coast with wind in your hair and sun and all this. It's like, oh, boy, you like me. Okay, we can do this. He really finessed it like an OG.
Yeah.
Like, that was very old school Frank Sinatra, like, poetic, the way he came back with it to make her feel comfortable and safe to say yes.
Mm-hmm. And what obviously made it 10 times cuter was the fact that Richard Schiff, who plays Dr. Glassman, got to be fake engaged again to his real life wife.
I know.
So cute. That's what pulled on my heartstrings even more, was like, this is so cute. Oh my gosh, this is so natural for you guys. This is like all over again, getting engaged.
Yeah, that is so sweet. I remember you telling me last week that that was his real life wife. And so in watching this time, I was really finding the nuances, like, oh, how sweet. They, like, get to act out their real life a little bit on camera, and we're getting an extra layer just because it's them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's happened quite a bit this season, where we've seen significant others of the actors or the actresses on the show playing characters, and I love it.
Yeah.
I love seeing that. It's just great.
Yeah, how fun, too. I would love, you know, if you're, you know, in love with someone and being able to have fun with them at work and then seeing the finished product together, that's pretty cool.
It is. All right, let's get into kind of our last storyline that happened this episode, which was the storyline with Dr. Park, Morgan, and Ida.
God, that was rough. It was strange and rough.
Did you feel like it kind of was the storyline on the outs. Like, it didn't feel like it really fit in with this particular episode. Well, just in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, it did and it didn't. Well, because I feel like every episode they always have two patients, mm-hmm. two separate patients. So that was just kind of like the sub B plot other patient. And Park and Morgan kind of had their climax for the season. I guess Morgan, you know, being able to help Claire, that was the arc of her character, I guess, for yeah. this season. And with Park, he had his moment getting back with his wife and son or wanting to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And that was it. They really didn't have anything warm to deal with. So I guess they did the best they could by putting yeah. them in the episode the way they could.
I may be extremely overthinking this, yeah. but I think this particular storyline was a hint at my what come. Obviously, mm-hmm. Ida didn't want to leave the hospital because she was lonely. Her daughter had actually died, and yeah. her husband, they've been separated, but he is also gone. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Dr. Park, because she was asking all of the questions about his family, I think Dr. Park might exit next season sometime to be with his family because he's seeing how lonely Ida is. And granted, his family is still alive, but he's seeing that he's not with them during probably some of the most important parts, especially in Kellen's life growing up.
Right. That's true. Like, that might be a little bite, a little lead-in for next season. I didn't even think of it like that. Mm-hmm. Even same thing for Morgan, because like I said, I mean, we've seen great things from her, but definitely nothing in the realm of love.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too. Like, maybe Morgan is going to be tired of feeling alone, because during the quarantine episodes, we saw how much she was affected by someone caring for her, because mm-hmm. she hadn't had that in probably a very long time. Mm-hmm. So this might also be a glimpse into her future of maybe trying to find someone. And it might, and again, might be a real stretch, but I know that there have been some theories that maybe Morgan will realize who she likes is women.
Right, because she called her a lesbian.
Yeah, she said her exact words were, gays have babies, you can have a baby.
Yeah.
So I was like, is that a glimpse that maybe Morgan will find love, but will find love with a woman?
Maybe so.
That was,
because she didn't flinch yeah. to it. She wasn't, mm-hmm. like, opposed to it. Instead of being like, girl, no, I'm looking for a man.
Yeah.
She was just like, whatever, give me a wrist.
So that's kind of what I took away from the storyline. I felt
that's
like...
That's good.
Yeah, that was just like a deep, like, looking into it real deep, maybe making a little stretch in what might happen. But I think that storyline was hints for those two characters of what's to come.
That is really good, girl. I wouldn't have even guessed that. I have to agree. That's a good guess right there. That's a good prediction.
And speaking of predictions, because this is the season finale, I'm sure that we have so much.
Yeah.
And now, you're after TV predictions.
We have predictions. We have to fill predictions for an entire season 3.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, anything at the top of your head?
At the top, I would definitely say we're going to enjoy Sean back. Maybe they'll have a party. Maybe they'll have some kind of, like, little welcome moment with, you know, the energy of Jackson Hahn out, Sean back in, and just a little welcome moment. I just see some kind of something happening there. I hope that Glassman gets married on the show so everybody can enjoy some happiness there.
I would love a wedding episode.
Yeah, why not a wedding, yeah. You know? Dr. Lim and Melendez can go as a date and, you know, all this and that. I do have a feeling that next season we will see some rockiness between Lim and Melendez, because the honeymoon stage is going to phase and nothing can be great forever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going to rock their boat, but it's going to be something. And I think it's going to be Lim. She's going to try to back out of this thing a couple times just because she seems like that type. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Who else?
Dr. Park. Morgan.
Oh, yeah, Park Sean, and Morgan. Well, I think you Claire. Nailed it with Park and Morgan. Mm-hmm. Claire, what's going to happen with Claire?
I think because in that little moment that she had with Sean, they were obviously talking about, like, what they want. And she also wants love.
Oh, yes.
I'm curious if...
the other cute boy comes back.
I know. What was his name? Dang it. All of you good doctor fans know exactly who we are talking about. I wonder if he will be coming back.
Right, which would be so nice. They were really cute. Mm-hmm.
But I also think, because they duped us twice at the end of this episode, I think we're going to start seeing some sparks between Sean and Claire.
Really?
I think so. I think Claire completely understands Sean. And I say that even in the fact that in this episode, when Claire was talking to Melendez about their patient, Claire said something like, Sean was really off right now. And then Dr. Lim posed a question, well, he's always off. What made him so different? And Sean was like, or Claire was like, it's a different kind of off.
Right.
So she can differentiate, you know, when Sean is, you know, being Sean and when Sean is, when something is actually up with him.
That's true.
So I think she can, really understand and connect with him personally. I would love to see that happen. And I think at the very least, we're going to see them grow a lot as friends in the beginning of next season because of, you know, Sean's going to be like, I have a date, Claire. Tell me what to do.
Yes, exactly.
So I think we're really going to see them grow. And I think Claire will have a love interest. Whether who it will be, I don't really know. I'm hoping for Sean. Jared! Thank you, Star Club! Jared!
Oh, we missed Jared!
Now I'm going to say his name like 15 times.
Yeah, Jared.
Just to let me know. Jared might come back.
That would be great.
And maybe he might come back and cause conflict in Claire's mind. Like, ooh, you know, I'm starting to kind of develop feelings for Sean, but Jared's back.
No, wait. I'm sorry. If it was between Jared and Sean on the table, there is no question. Dun, 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 dun. Like, come on.
Jared.
Because, I mean, Jared, they, if anything, maybe Sean will teach Claire something that softens her more so that she can accept Jared when he comes back, maybe. Or whoever comes in the picture.
And that's another thing, is I would love to see more storyline of those surgeons and residents outside of the hospital.
Yeah.
Just because, like, we obviously see a lot of their character growth in the hospital, but I love moments where we can step back. Or even, like, this episode where we really got to see, like, Claire and saying what she wants. And Sean, you know, he wants to be a dad. He thinks he'd be a great dad. I want to see more moments like that.
Right. And speaking of movie, I'm wondering also, and I don't know how it works in the real world, but this show is obviously perfect at nailing it. Are they going to remain residents? Or when do they become surgeons? And is there room for all of them? How does this go?
I think we have time to figure that out because I remember last episode, Claire said 3 years. Sean had 3 years to still figure out how to grow as a surgeon because they were residents.
Okay, so they have time as residents. They wouldn't be moving on this quickly. Okay.
I think I might be the only one on the Sean and Claire train because Frank S. is saying, no, keep that special friendship between Claire and Sean. And Renji90998 is saying, I did kind of sense a vibe between Sean and Claire, but I think it'll be better friendship.
Yeah, she'll totally help him with Carly. And even if she ends up being a shoulder for him to cry on or someone, I think, if anything, her relationship with Sean and what she goes through with him will help her in her love life with someone else. That's my guess.
I hope that a lot of what we're saying might actually come true it is going to be getting me very, very excited for season 3.
Yes, I can't wait. This was great. This was a great season. I'm so glad I got to join the panel and talk about these things with you guys because this is such a wonderful show. And I noticed that, what was it, the co-executive producer was
Simran.
So good job on that. You know, and it was nice, you know, to have the guests in and to talk about the show.
Well, I love the fact that you joined the panel, Jamie. I love your insights. And we just loved covering the show this season. And guys, that's a wrap. That's a wrap for season 2 of The Good Doctor. Thank you so much for tuning in with us all season long. We really appreciate all of you that have commented on our videos, joined our live chat to get involved in the conversation. Thank you so much. And so, Jamie, now that we're done with The Good Doctor, where can the fans find you if they want to keep watching you?
Yes, if you guys want to keep watching, I am doing the after show for God Friended Me, and that comes on Sundays at a little bit after 6 o'clock. And that is it for... Oh, and The Flash on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. So you can catch me there. And if anywhere, I'm always on Instagram stories, just Instagramming away. So you can follow me on Instagram at Jamie Alexander.
I'm Veronica Valencia. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at It's Me, Veronica V. You can also catch me Wednesdays on the Deadly Class after show at 8 p.m. as well as the Survivor after show at 9 p.m. Again, thank you so much, Good Doctor fans, for tuning in with us all season long. We look forward to season 3. See ya.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.